Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I'm joined by my good friend Chris Castain. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. We finally have real life, real football to talk about, to analyze, to get into, and a little bit different of a show format. We'll just start back to you, the listener. We are not going to go game by game by game by game like we have in past years. Maybe if this goes terribly wrong, we'll switch back to that. But today I wanted to try something a little bit different. I wanted to talk about our 10 biggest takeaways of the weekend. I think that that might be kind of an interesting conversation to have. So me and Chris both have five, and we'll talk about each one of them kind of in depth. We're also going to get over into some news. I'm going to pull up my Sleeperbot fantasy football app. Please sponsor us, Sleeper, as I know that me and Chris use it at least. So, but they're a great resource for all kinds of football news just kind of condensed into one place. So I'm going to pull that up. We'll go over some of the news of the day and of the weekend. And then we will get into some overreactions from week one, as well as maybe a few other little things, but there's just a lot to get to. So why don't we start with a little bit of news. Some injury stuff early. We're going to play injury a la carte here. So I'm going to give you three options, Chris, and you tell me which one of these injuries is going to affect the team the most. Okay. Tyreek Hill is going to be out about 6 to 7 weeks, according to Chiefs wide receiver Sammy Watkins in an interview earlier today. A MRI has been done on Darius Geis' knee, and he is likely to miss some time. Still no time frame. The Raiders cornerback Arian Conley is going to be okay. He obviously had that very serious and scary kind of neck injury last night, but he is good. And Malik Jackson is done for the 2019 season with a Lisfranc injury. I don't know what the Lisfranc is. And of course, one of the biggest news of the weekend was that Nick Foles is out for the Jaguars for at least until week 11 and potentially the entire season. So I think I set that up badly because I think we both agree the Nick Foles injury is probably the most devastating out of all of those.
Yeah, I agree.
But so go somewhere else that's not Nick Foles. But I'll go mention, of course, the Nick Foles injury.
I think the Tyreek Hill injury is going to be the second biggest one. And it was kind of tough, but some of those, I'm just going off between the length of how long it's going to be, 6 to 7 weeks. And the other ones, we're not 100% sure yet, so it's kind of early. But I'm going to say Tyreek Hill. I think, of course, the best receiver on the Chiefs. So that means it's going to be less targets for guys like Sammy Watkins, less opportunities for him, because everybody would have been targeting Tyreek Hill, doubling them or even singling them, but with their best cornerback. But I have to say that's the second biggest one for me.
See, I would go with Darius Geis as the second biggest one just because there are so many good pieces in that Chiefs offense, and we saw even without Tyreek Hill in the second half of that Jaguars game that the Chiefs offense was able to move the ball and score points. And Sammy Watkins looks like a completely different player. I know it's just week one, but if he continues to perform like the way he did on Sunday, that's another big weapon added to that Chiefs offense. And Travis Kelce looked good. We didn't really see anything out of Mecole Hardman. He wasn't targeted a lot. But he was kind of bought in to be the Tyreek Hill replacement. So yeah. I feel like they have more there. But if Darius Geis is out for even an extended period of time in Washington, that offense is lacking in talent.
Let's be honest, it's going to be a repeat of last year if he's out any significant time. They're going to be a whatever. I don't know how many games they won last year, 5. That'll probably be the same result. And I just don't – I guess for me, Tyreek Hill has more of an impact throughout the entire league just because it's more not the team for me necessarily. I think the Chiefs will be all right. And I think the Washington Redskins will be a little worse. But I didn't see them winning games anyway with him. And without him, it's going to be even worse. So that's really – mine's more of a league impact, and I think Tyreek Hill's going to have – injuries going to have more of an impact on the entire league.
Okay. Yeah, that's obviously a good point to have there as well. I just think the Chiefs' offense has so many weapons that it's really going to be not that huge of a deal. But I
can understand that, though. Yeah.
I would say our next topic here, after we got to some of the news, well, not all of the news. I guess we have to talk about Antonio Brown.
We've done what have we done, like 3 podcasts on him? This is like
one. When was our last podcast? Last Wednesday, right? Yep. So a bunch of crazy stuff happened. He got in a fight with Mike Mayock. He illegally recorded John Gruden. He punted a football into the stands. He
took his guarantees away.
They
took his guarantees away.
He requested his release.
And they released.
He was released. And then, oh my God.
The same day he gets signed.
About an hour later, the New England Patriots swoop him up. It is – and I'm just going to not talk about – there has been some very troubling Antonio Brown news that has come out in the last few seconds on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that, Chris.
Oh, my God. God, I just saw that like 2 seconds ago.
Yeah. So that's not great.
And this guy, I mean, this is news that we just saw on our phone. So this isn't something we've been waiting to.
This is not good.
It's not good at all.
It's not good. Basically accused of rape. I mean, I've been anti-Antonio Brown for a while now, so, I mean, this news is obviously terrible, but, I mean, I'm not surprised.
Honestly,
it doesn't seem like he has his life together at all.
Maybe this is what's been part of the thing the past few months, but...
Yeah, maybe.
Anytime you see something like this out of... nothing's been heard about at all, no news or anything about it until 5 minutes ago today. It's kind of shocking. I don't even know what to say just because it's so – this is like an instant reaction thing that I'm
– Yeah, I don't think we need to focus on it a ton. It's just kind of a new news, but –
Yeah,
I don't know. Do you think – I don't know how long he's going to last with the Patriots. Might be all season.
He might not play a game with the Patriots.
Might be short. I don't really know. We've spent so much time talking about Antonio Brown, and if you go back and listen to our top 10 quarterbacks episode, which was really long, I kind of went off on Antonio Brown back then when Helmetgate came about, and my feelings have just gotten, you know, more and more towards the side of I don't really like this guy or what he stands for. I think people who are getting upset at the Patriots for going out and signing him and giving him another chance have a right to feel that way. But at the same time, NFL teams go and pick up guys with questionable character issues all the time. I don't really see much of a difference between this pickup and the Chiefs keeping Tyreek Hill or the Cowboys keeping Greg Hardy for a while or a countless number of other scenarios. I don't really know what Antonio Brown is right now outside of just a massive league distraction. And yeah, I don't know, man.
The events have been so wild that I don't know what to take away from this. I really don't. There's so much to take in from the last month. So many things have happened. It's something new every single day with Antonio Brown. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm surprised, and I guess in a way I'm not. Now that you have time to think about it, I've had time to think about it for a few minutes, a little bit. I'm not as surprised, just based on how wild the events have been the last few days. I mean, I don't know. It's just tough. It's tough.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really want to talk about Antonio Brown anymore.
Well, let me just ask you this quick question. Won't last but a minute. How many games do you think that he plays with the Patriots now? Like, what would be your prediction? With this news coming out.
I'd say 5, maybe.
I'm going to say 0. Maybe 1. I'll give him 1, maybe. I think he's going to get suspended by the commissioner. If everything turns out, and this could be a little story that turns out that NFL's already investigated and nothing happened. I don't know. It's just an odd timing and everything. I don't know. I could see him playing 1 game or 2 games, but that's about it. I don't know. It's weird. We can move on now. I just wanted to get your perspective on it.
Yeah. As far as a football perspective goes, the Patriots are much better with him, but I think they showed Sunday night that they were good without him. And before we get to our 10 takeaways, your overreaction to week 1 is?
It was tough between the overreaction of the Raiders. I would probably go with the overreaction to the Raiders. And I even thought it for a second about the Raiders making the playoffs.
What is your personal overreaction? What is something you think that you know is an overreaction, but you still think?
That's what I'm saying, the Raiders.
Oh, all right.
I think they're making the playoffs. I actually thought about it, and I was like, it's way too early to say. I thought, which is kind of, in a way, saying that the Broncos aren't that good, because I don't think they are, really, but I think it's, for one, it's week 1. I think they could overperform what they will the rest of the season. And two, I don't know. I think it's more the Broncos being bad or under average, whatever you want to call it, in week 1 at least, than it is about the Raiders, how good they played. Because Josh Jacobs ran for, and I know you saw this, over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. He played out of his mind, and I don't see that happening as much the rest of the season. So that would be my overreaction.
Yeah, I would say my biggest overreaction is Lamar Jackson's gonna have a hell of a year, and I know it's the Dolphins, but I just think that he looked so awesome as a passer, and it was just I think we discussed this. I think you believe in Lamar Jackson. I think we kind of went into this on of the top 10 new era quarterbacks episode earlier in the offseason, but it just felt really good being a Lamar Jackson fan to see him be able to throw the football like he did and just carve up a really hapless Dolphins defense. And I know it's a hapless Dolphins defense, but I just think if he can blow up a bad team like that, he can do well enough against good teams. So good quarterbacks blow up bad teams, and I think Lamar Jackson's a good quarterback because he blew up a bad team.
I actually I don't think that's an overreaction about Lamar Jackson. I do think – here's the thing. I know I've seen it over Twitter. It was just the Miami Dolphins. But he played too well. I mean, for me not to feel like he's going to have a big year. But then again, I see where it comes from. It's just week one. We'll see what happens the rest of the season.
Yeah, it is going to be – it's going to be an interesting year. And I'm just kind of excited to see what he does. Another week one overreaction. The Broncos are going to be terrible. They're going to go like 3-13 and end up having to draft a quarterback. Probably an overreaction, but the way I feel after Monday night's, let's put it bluntly, embarrassing loss to the Oakland Raiders. There's no reason we should have lost that game. And we'll get into that later with our 10 takeaways, which I want to get into now. We each have 5. I figured we'd go back and forth. I want to start with yours. What is your first takeaway from week one?
Well, of course, I had to start with the Falcons, and I had to start with the offensive line. The offensive line sucked. It could not predict Matt Ryan to save their life on Sunday against the Vikings. And I'll give it to you, the Vikings have a very good defense. I don't care. He got sacked, if I remember right, 5 times. That is completely unacceptable. And then it gets worse. It gets worse with the Chris Lindstrom injury, excuse me. That makes it even worse because I think he was probably the second best offensive lineman on that line. So it's a very – I don't know if this team – what this team's going to do. I hope it – proves. I like that Caleb McGarry is going to come in. He's proven to during practice that he has the potential, and I've seen good reports coming out of Falcons camp about Caleb McGarry. So I have hope, but I think it's going to take at least a few weeks to get the for them to gel, so I'm still concerned. I think they could start 0-4.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the blame's off Matt Ryan though. He threw 2 terrible interceptions, and didn't he have a fumble as well?
Yeah. Now the interception, I think the part of the interceptions were his fault, but I think part of them was the offensive line could not protect him, so he was forced to make a decision that he – now, granted, he shouldn't have made that decision, but at the same time, he shouldn't have been forced to make that decision.
Yeah, I just think that Matt Ryan hasn't been very good the last few weeks. If you look back to last year, I don't think he finished the season very well. I don't think he finished the season very well this year. I don't really – I don't know if I think he is that great a quarterback. I'm a little bit down on Matt Ryan right now. I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback anymore. I think that he's kind of dropped out of that conversation, and he's kind of fighting to stay above the top half of the league as far as quarterbacks go. The one thing I noticed really here looking at the box score, I didn't get a chance to watch this game, was – I think part of the reason that the Falcons lost was because they refused to run the ball. They threw with Matt Ryan 46 times, and they only ran the ball 17 times. Like, that's pretty insane. Like, you can't – I don't think it's a winning formula to drop back and pass 46 times and only run 17.
And by no way, when I said the offensive line sucked, I mean that's why they lost. That's not the only reason they lost. I agree with you. when you see Matt Ryan throw for 44 times.
46.
46 times. That's utterly ridiculous. I mean, I could see 30-30 or like even – I could see even a little more passing than running. I could, but I would think it would be more split. I'm getting interruptions on the screen, so that's why I was sounded a little rough. But what was I saying? Yeah, about the running and throwing. I think it should have been 30-30 or even 40 or even 35-30, but 17 times running is not enough. But I guess they felt like against the Vikings defense that it was just that's what they needed to do, but it was the wrong choice.
Yeah, I just – I don't know how you can justify running it that many – throwing it that many times and just kind of abandoning your running game. My yeah. week, my first week one take, I think the Patriots are going to start 10-0, and I firmly believe that. This team looked better than last year because Tom Brady – turned back the clock somehow. Last year, he didn't look like he could throw deep anymore, and he comes out in week one and against a good Steelers defense, lights him up for 341 yards and three touchdowns. And I don't know how he does it, Chris. I honestly don't know how he does it. It's just it is a miracle that he can still do what he does. And I used to hate it, and I still deep down hate it. But bubbling up at the surface, there is a begrudging respect and kind of awe at the fact that Tom Brady is still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, if not the best. And I had him ranked way too low coming into the season. I think he's definitely a top five quarterback after that performance. I would maybe argue he's even top two at this point. I don't know if I'd take him over Patrick Mahomes per se. Well, maybe I actually would. I just think that Tom Brady is, I don't know, he's incredible. And the Patriots schedule, I don't know if you've seen this. It is.
I'm looking at it right now.
So weak. It is so weak. They play the Dolphins next week. Then they play the Jets. Oh God, then they play the Bills. Then they play the Redskins. Then they play the Giants. Then they play the Jets again. And then the schedule gets a little bit tougher. But up until that point, I think they start 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, 7-0. I think they beat the Browns 8-0. They beat the Ravens 9-0. They beat the Eagles 10-0. And I think their first loss of the season might not even come until they play the Cowboys. But I think they can legitimately start the season at 10-0.
I think if any team could, it would be them for sure. I mean, 10-0 isn't saying a lot with the teams that they play. But at the same time, that's a lot of division games and a lot of things can happen. I think the Jets will get better after that week one loss to the Bills. I don't think that's who the Jets are, the team that we saw week one. I would say, to me, the first – they're going to go at least 6-0 at the very worst. I think that's almost guaranteed at this point. Antonio Brown or not, I don't care. They look too good on Sunday night to not think this. And this may be an overreaction. We'll see come week three or four. This may have been just a one-game performance. And then they start their normal drop-off that they usually do at the beginning of the season for about 2-3 games. But I could see at least 7-0. I could see the Eagles, by that time, they might would beat them. But that's about it. Maybe the Jets come week seven. You got to remember Le'Veon Bell and all of them. So they're pretty new to that team. So I think the Jets will be better by then, especially on offense, because they did not look good against the Buffalo Bills defense that could be better than what we expected, but I have my doubts.
Oh, I really liked the Bills defense, and it's,
yeah,
not,
it's good. We won.
It's not one of my takeaways, but I thought the Bills played really well on defense against the Jets, and I thought Josh Allen had one of his better games. Even though he turned the ball over, I know he turned the ball over, but he made some really impressive throws, and I don't know. Maybe he's the new Jameis Winston, but I loved Jameis Winston for a long time, and we'll get to him later. But I think that Josh Allen had a really nice game, and I am excited to see what he does for the rest of the season. All right, your second takeaway from week one is?
For me, it's the Miami Dolphins. I think they will win no more than two games. I think they have the potential to go 0-16. I don't know what to call that, if that was called on purposely tanking or teams just that bad on particularly defense. I personally think that they are probably tanking because I cannot see it. The last team that I remember getting whipped that badly was when the Falcons beat the Bucks back in like 2014, and it was like 55-14. That was the worst loss. That's the last time I can remember a team losing that badly. So I think this team has the real potential to go 0-16. I just don't know if they're actually tanking or not. I think if they're actually playing to actually win football games, that they could win three or four games. But that's about it. But that's really why I'm saying the Dolphins will go 2-14.
Yeah, I think they might go 2-14 as well. I don't think that's crazy at all to say. I just think,
and I think that's being nice, by the way.
I don't really
at this point.
I don't know if they were tanking or not either, because I don't think you can. Football's such a team sport and such a sport that you have to like put everything on the line. I don't think you can purposely lose. And, I mean, I watched some of this game. It didn't look like they were just, like, not trying. I just truly think they're that talent poor on defense that the Ravens' offense just outran them. And there weren't a ton of missed tackles in this game. It was just players blowing by really slow corners and getting wide open deep and scoring points really easily. And I think this also – it says to me more about the Ravens than it does the Dolphins, because I think good teams blow out bad teams, and I think the Ravens are a good team because they went in and they went and they blew out a bad team.
Well, I was going to see what quarterbacks, how much if Josh Allen played and if Ryan Fitzpatrick played, but – I want to check on that real quick.
Both played. Josh Rosen came in and threw like three passes. Didn't look great, but I mean, he wasn't going to look great. There was no offensive line protection around him. Ryan Fitzpatrick had one good throw throughout a few good throws throughout the entire day. He didn't look bad. It was really the defense that got outclassed. The offense obviously ran into a tough defense. But I think Ryan Fitzpatrick showed a few brief glimmers. I just think all around it was a bad performance by everyone involved.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I just couldn't remember if both of them played three passes. He probably got taken out because of the interception. Three passes, you throw an interception. But they only threw two interceptions, so you have to say it was probably the defense that was the worst part of that team. And now, granted, they did lose a fumble, but even then, I mean, worst case scenario, that's 21 points. If everything goes the worst way possible, that's 21 points. You're still getting blown out 40 to 10. So I can't say that it was offensive miscues only. That's just impossible to say. So yeah, I agree with you. It was an all around bad performance.
Right. My second takeaway, and this one can be kind of quick because it ties into that game and my overreaction. I think Lamar Jackson is due for a really big year, And I think it's going to be great. Just going over his stat lines a little bit, he threw for 324 yards, only had three incompletions, threw for five touchdowns. And they still ran the ball a ton, too, and he didn't really run that much in this game. He only ran three times for 6 yards. I think it's also awesome that the Ravens are going to have a great wide receiving core around him. Their rookie, Marquise Brown, exploded out of the gates. Four catches, 147 yards, two touchdowns. Mark Andrews, the tight end, we talked about him a little bit on our AFC North preview, and the guys there said he was one of the most underrated tight ends in the entire NFL, and they looked to be very right. He had eight catches for 108 yards. Willie Snead has always looked good. Hayden Hurst, their second tight end, looked good. Miles Boykin had a nice catch for a touchdown and wasn't targeted a ton in this game, but I thought he ran his routes well. I really like everything I saw from the backfield. Mark Ingram, I think, is going to be the number one back there. He had 14 touches for 107 yards. Only Gus Edwards had more, but he had 17 for 56 yards. I just think Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens offense has the potential to be a top five NFL offense. I truly believe it. I think they have a ton of weapons. And because we've already kind of talked about it, I'll just move on to my third one now as well, and maybe we can focus on this. As I said this offseason, the Browns' biggest problem is that they have no offensive line. They have no offensive line. Baker Mayfield got killed against the Titans, and he had three bad picks. And yes, two of them were his fault, but he just kept getting hammered in this game. He was hit on almost every throw he made. He just never looked comfortable in the pocket. He took in the sack he took on the end zone, he got up and was wincing, and his throwing arm just never really looked right after that. I'm really concerned for Baker Mayfield's health, because in this game, he took five sacks, which is really, really bad. And you can't take five sacks. It's just something you can't do and still win football games. And the offensive line, the tackles looked really bad. The fact Greg Robinson got ejected didn't help. But I am just really worried about this Cleveland Browns football team, because I don't think they're going to be able to protect Baker Mayfield.
Here's my thing about the whole situation and what I've seen or heard. I've seen it on Twitter. The offense needs time to gel. Well, The only really new piece that's the biggest
offensive thing. Lines don't need time to gel. I'm not saying here, Chris. I'm not saying the offense looked bad. Odell Beckham Jr. had some great catches in this game. Baker distributed the ball well when he had time. The reason the offense wasn't able to work was, one, they couldn't get the running game going because, again, they had no offensive line and they couldn't block for Nick Chubb.
I was going
to. Because Baker Mayfield got sacked and hit almost every single play. That's why the offense didn't work. It's not a matter of them gelling, I don't think. Right. It's a matter of the offensive line being a real problem for this team that could seriously hold them back and make them an 8-8 team.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And that's where I was going, is that the offensive line has been together. There's not really any new pieces on that offensive line that should have needed time to get to.
Well, it was bad last year.
Just together.
This is not a new thing. No. It was bad last year, and throughout the offseason, we said this is a problem, and they didn't really address it until they got two kind of no-name guards the last day of training camp when they traded for them. And the interior offensive line looked good. I'll say that. Interior offensive line looked good, but you have a massive problem at tackle. You have a massive problem at tackle, and if you can't protect Baker Mayfield, that's going to be a real problem. And on the other side of that, I think the Titans' defense looked awesome. I think you and me both didn't really credit the Titans a ton this offseason, didn't really buy into the hype. I buy into the hype about the defense because that defense was absolutely freaking incredible. They, like I said, sacked Baker Mayfield 5 times. The defense had 3 interceptions. Malcolm Butler, Kevin Byard looks like an absolute star. Logan Ryan looked good. Cameron Wake had 3 sacks. Like, this Titans defense is for real, man. They are really, really, really good, I think.
I agree with you. I agree with a lot of what you said. They have the potential. And to do what they did against, give it to the offensive line of the Cleveland Browns, is not the best at all. To what they did to this offense with that much talent, especially at the wide receiver, running back, and quarterback, is very good. And you can't take it away. This was a big test for the Titans defense, and they passed it with flying colors. I mean, they did wonderful. Now we'll see how long that keeps up. I'm sure they'll have a hiccup game here and there. But for right now, I have to say this Titans defense is, like you said, for real.
And you I think you have to give some credit to Marcus Mariota as well, who had a really good game in this one. He didn't throw the ball deep a lot, but they made Marcus Mariota a game manager, basically. Gave him a bunch of easy screen throws, a bunch of easy mid-range throws, and he made them all. He was 14 for 24, 248 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And one of those touchdowns, granted, was Derrick Henry taking it to the house on a really nice screen. But I look at their wide receiving corps, which I didn't really buy before. A.J. Brown is an absolute stud. Their rookie wide receiver had 3 catches for 100 yards. Delanie Walker looks like he's back 100% healthy. He had 2 touchdowns on the day. Corey Davis disappointed, I would say. But I think they have a good offense, and I need to see it maybe 1 or 2 more weeks, but I'm very close to admitting I was wrong about the Tennessee Titans, and especially with the Nick Foles injury and everything that's kind of transpired in the AFC South over the past few weeks, I think maybe we should consider them to be the favorites. I don't know what you think.
That was about to come out of my mouth as soon as you got done. I think the Houston Texans look better than I expected. I expected that team to be a little worse than it actually was. But other than that, Tennessee looked like the best team on week 1. So right now, I would
say. Wow. I would not say they look like the best team, but that's a really bold take.
I think they look like the best team in the NFC South, the Tennessee Titans.
In the AFC South, sorry.
Yeah, not teams like the top 32, but in the NFC South, in the AFC South, they look like the best team in that division.
All right, your third takeaway.
All right, for me, my third takeaway is Mitch Trubisky in the Thursday night game. I'm concerned about him, and I had thought about it, but I was thinking, he'll get past the growing pains and he'll be a better quarterback, but not so far. I think he's a very, very, at least so far, this is probably should have been one of my overreactions just because it's week 1, but we saw a lot of questionable things out of Mitch Trubisky, and a lot of it, sure, it was play calling. I think they were trying to be, I don't think I would say too cute. I think they were trying to be, they were not sticking to what they do best. I thought there were some questionable decisions, especially at running back. They started Mike Davis over, or they didn't start. He had more carries than the rookie. I can't think of it was Montgomery and more carries than Tariq Cohen. I do not think that's a winning recipe. I give that, but. Of course, before the season, I predicted the Bears to go to the Super Bowl, but Trubisky is scaring me away from that pick, and it's only week 1. Am I overreacting to that? I don't think I am, but
I'm a big Mitchell Trubisky believer. And I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I'm not out on him yet because it takes a while for me to be true. I have figured out to be truly out on a quarterback. We'll actually get to a quarterback that I'm out on next. That's what we call a teaser in this industry. Chris, that's what we call a teaser because I think I'm gonna make an audible from my fourth takeaway. But I think that Trubisky looked terrible. I don't think the coaching staff helped him out much. They didn't run the ball at all. The one guy who he did look comfortable throwing to was Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson had a good game. And when Mitchell Trubisky threw to him, they weren't necessarily good throws, but Robinson went up and made the plays. And it's not like they haven't surrounded him with talent. They have Taylor Gabriel. They have Anthony Miller. I worry about the Bears offense a little bit. Luckily for them, they get a bad Broncos defense, and we'll get more on them later in week two. So I'm going to wait until week three or week four until I truly make a decision on Mitchell Trubisky.
And that's basically what I said. I mean, I'm going to give him a few weeks. I'm going to give him a few weeks before I completely out on and I'm going to say my Super Bowl pick because the Bears were my Super Bowl pick. Let's just say it this way. I was at a 6 of 10 on confidence. Now I'm down to 3.
Wow.
And I'll be down to 1 if this keeps on happening. Well, the NFC's just so got so many teams with potential. It's not like the AFC where New England or Kansas City, and that's pretty much it right now at this point. That's why I'm so low on them.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on to my fourth takeaway. Quarterback I am totally out on is, I will give you a guess, he's a guy that I hyped up during our preview that you did with me, our divisional preview. That
this
you
year?
Did with me. Yeah.
Dak?
No.
You didn't hype up Dak. Oh, my goodness. I can't even – at this point, can't remember.
I'm out.
I don't have a guess.
I am out on the one, the only, eating W's for breakfast, Jameis Winston.
Oh.
I am out.
I would have never thought that.
I am out. I know I hyped him up a ton this offseason. I have always really liked what I've seen from Jameis Winston. But I have this kind of text conversation with our good friend Mark Magana, who I hope to have on later in the season. I'm so out on Jameis Winston because we just thought that Bruce Arians could fix him. And what does he do almost immediately when he comes into the game? He throws 2 pick-sixes, 2 awful pick-sixes straight to Niners DBs. Like, there are no wide receivers anywhere near these guys. And he just makes these boneheaded, terrible throws. He's an awful decision maker. I can't stand for it anymore. He's not a good quarterback. He is a bad quarterback. And even – I will say this. Even bad quarterbacks can occasionally make good throws. I have come to know that. Eli Manning can occasionally make a good throw. Blake Bortles would occasionally make a good throw. Jameis Winston will occasionally make a good throw, but that does not make him a good quarterback. He is, in fact, a bad quarterback, and I am completely out on Jameis Winston, and I'm worried about the Bucs because the defense doesn't look any better than it was last year. And Jimmy Garoppolo, who also didn't look good, was able to kind of work the 49ers. Well, honestly, what put this game over the top was the 2 pick-sixes. Without the 2 pick-sixes, it's a much lower scoring game. But if Jameis Winston would have just kept the ball safe, I believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could have won this game. And I think that's been the story throughout most of his career. And so for those reasons, I'm out on Jameis Winston.
Well, let me just first off say what I'm saying and might ask you a question. About Jameis Winston, I don't think he's the quarterback that's going to lead Tampa Bay back to the playoffs.
I think it's time to move on.
I do think it's time to move on from Jameis Winston, because I feel like he, like you said, I think he turns the ball over too much. He's a bad decision maker. There's really not a whole lot to add. I don't want to reach with waste the listeners' time or stuff like that. So I think, like you said, I think he's a bad decision maker. I think he throws too many interceptions more than anything. He has his moments. He has his good games. Far be it, not nearly enough to count. But he does have some good games, but not enough to leave. Tampa Bay's going to have another quarterback to get to the playoffs. Unless we're overreacting and it's just week one. We'll see. Now, my question to you is about Jimmy Garoppolo. If we remember last season, you hyped that dude up.
Yeah, I was very wrong. I'm kind of semi-out on Jimmy Garoppolo, too.
What's your thoughts on him in general?
Yeah, I don't know. He didn't look bad necessarily, but he didn't look good either, if that makes sense. He had like two good throws on the day and really struggled. He only had 166 yards passing. Like, that's pretty terrible. That's pretty terrible for an NFL quarterback.
So he was bad, not average.
Yeah, he was bad. He was bad in this game. I won't lie, he was bad. This game included two bad quarterbacks.
I agree. Yeah. I have nothing else to add, but
all right. Well, why don't we head on over to your fifth takeaway then. Fourth.
Yeah. For me, it was Patrick McCollum. This was a major takeaway. Patrick McCollum looks like he has not dropped off a bit.
I'd argue, if anything, he looked better.
Yeah. I agree with you. He might even look better than he did in some games. And I feel like this Jacksonville defense is a legit defense. I'm not going to say it's the best. I'm not going to say it's the worst. It may be mediocre 15th, but nonetheless, I think it was a pretty good defense that Patrick Mahomes played against. And last year, he did not look like this against Jacksonville. But I want to see what happens after this. I'm not going to spend too much time on it because we've already talked about it. What happens with the Tyreek Hill injury? I want to see how much the offense drops, I don't think it's going to get better, but who knows at the NFL if it gets better. And obviously that's a far, far, far fetch, but with that offense, but Patrick Mahomes proved that they're the second best team in the AFC, and it may not even be close between the second and third team in the AFC anymore with, in my rankings, because of what happened in Tennessee, and then what happened with Pittsburgh, they both just fell apart.
Yeah, one thing to say, Patrick Mahomes kind of hurt his ankle in the first half. Did not look as great in the second half. He actually left. They left some points on the board, as hard as that is to believe. He missed some throws in this game, and he still looked awesome. We're still raving about him. So I don't think you're wrong. I think they're the second best team in the AFC. The defense worries me. The fact that Gardner Minshew, who, by the way, I don't think Gardner Minshew, if the Texans If the Texans' defense is good, I think Gardner Minshew can easily win the Jaguars 7 games. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, because he looked really, really good in this game. He made some really special throws, and the Chiefs' defense shouldn't get carved up by a 6th-round pick the way they did, but they did. So I don't know. Maybe it was just the Chiefs' defense being bad, but I'm not out on Gardner Minshew. I'm really excited to see what he does in week 2. He's one of the players I'm kind of the most excited to keep an eye on as he'll lead the Jaguars in week 2. I don't know, man. I'm worried about the Chiefs' defense. That's the one thing. And now my fifth and, well, should we just – Should our last segment just be you ask me about the Broncos for a while?
Yeah, you still got to go over your fourth, though.
Oh, I just went over my fourth. You just gave your fourth, too.
You didn't talk about one of them.
Right, because I replaced it.
Oh, okay.
With Jameis. But I'm thinking, but I do want to talk about the one I skipped. So can we talk just 10 minutes on the Broncos after we're done with this?
Sure.
Because, of course, I have thoughts. my final takeaway is the Cowboys. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, and I am 100% confident in that pick. They are one of the best teams in the NFL. They are. They are just hands down one of the best teams in the NFL. And I know the Giants' defense is bad, but that offense looked completely different than it ever has before. Dak Prescott had a career day. They didn't even use Ezekiel Elliott that much. This team is going to be special. The defense is special. I am excited to see what they do for the rest of the year. I am really 100% in on the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm excited to see what they do this year, and I truly believe they are a Super Bowl team. That is maybe a week one overreaction, but I love the Cowboys. They are so good.
I don't disagree with you on how good the Cowboys are. I'll say this, that they're definitely a Super Bowl contender, no doubt.
They might be the best. They are the best team in the NFC right now. I truly believe that.
I can't really say at this point. As of week one, they may be the best team in the NFC. The Eagles had a very I don't know what I know they were down 17-0, dude.
The Eagles in the second half were so good. I don't know if you saw any of that game, but I saw a little bit, and
yeah.
Carson Wentz, oh my god, he is healthy and he looks like MVP Carson Wentz.
But the first half.
In the second half.
Yeah, we can't forget the first half, though. I mean,
well, the first half. Here's an overall thesis, by the way. I've been in school, so I'm using big words like thesis now. Here's my thesis. Now that the preseason has basically become inconsequential, I believe the first half of week one is the preseason. I truly believe that. Most of these teams did not look good in the first half of their games.
I agree. Half of them didn't look good. At least half the teams, because either the other team looked good or whatever the case may be, or it was just an even game up till halftime. But I agree with you. So
I'm not too worried about the first half. I'm not too worried about the first half at all.
I would say the whole first game, though, if we go by your thesis, it was a preseason game for the starters. Week two, I don't think week two through 16, or week two through 15, I don't think say preseason game. They're real games that actually for teams that lost, they need to win those games. That who lost to start 0-2, that sucks. So you know the teams are going to show up. I do agree with you though. Week one, you have to give them a break, which is why I'm hesitant on saying the Dallas Cowboys are the best team. I don't know yet in the NFC. I think if you say overall performance at the end, Were the Dallas Cowboys the best team in week one in the NFC? Of course, yeah. I do agree with that. Not the best team overall. I think New England was the best team overall in the entire league. But so, yeah, going by your thesis, I would say yes.
Yeah.
All right. So
yeah. So your final takeaway.
This one may or may not surprise you, or it may. It's not. I don't think it'll surprise you, but you're gonna be like, I told you. Jacoby Brissett. He impressed me on Sunday against a pretty good Chargers defense. I thought he changed my mind a little bit from where I was so unconfident with him, or about him. He threw 22 for 27. He threw a couple of touchdowns, and he threw for like 250. The 22 for 27 is what caught my eye. I only saw the tip end of the game, like the last, I would say, 10 minutes with overtime. But what I saw of it, he impressed me. He led that team to come back, tied the game 24-24. You can't do anything about your deep. He can't control the defense, so I can't take the loss away. I can't take it away from him 100%. I thought he impressed me. If I had to say any quarterback impressed me out of the young quarterbacks besides Lamar Jackson, it would be Jacoby Brissett.
Wow, I did not think you'd have that take.
I figure you would.
I honestly barely switched back and forth between this game. I thought that the Chargers at points looked good, at points looked very bad. I didn't learn anything from this game. I don't know if that's the case with you, but I feel like I didn't learn anything from this game. Like they're the same teams. I thought the Panthers would be okay without Andrew Luck, and they were okay. And I thought the Chargers would beat okay teams and struggle against good pass rushes, which they did. And I thought the defense would struggle without Derwin James, which they did. So I don't really know. I have no concrete opinion on either of those teams.
So you're saying this was worse Chargers defense than it was better Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah, I would say that.
Okay, that's understandable. I guess from what my perspective was of Jacoby Brissett, I thought he was a really average, at best, quarterback that probably wouldn't even prove himself in a game like this. The Chargers defense definitely is not the best, or wasn't the best in that game. I'll give you that for sure. But based off of where I had Jacoby Brissett, I was impressed.
All right. That's it. We're going to close out the podcast. Unless there's anything else you want to touch on, Chris. Wink, wink.
Let's talk about the Broncos.
Ugh.
We got to talk about the Broncos.
Oh, no.
You're not going to get away with nothing.
No, that's it. We're going to finish up the podcast. We don't need to talk about the Broncos.
Oh, yeah, we do.
All right. Fine.
Have to talk about
fine. We'll talk about my team, the Broncos, the sadness that consumes my every moment, the team that makes me feel physically ill after they lose, the team that every year gets my hopes up and rips my heart out early. This team, Well, okay, where do you want to start, Chris? Because I know you didn't watch the game, but where do you want to start?
Start with Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco is Joe Flacco. He's not bad, but he's not awesome. He's like a game manager. He's a game manager. And that I think that's fine. That or at least that would be fine if the defense could actually freaking play and, like,
And you're blaming us on the defense.
Yes, 100%. Really? This game was 100% on the defense. I thought the running game looked good. I thought the offensive line looked good. I thought the wide receivers looked good, except for a DeSean Hamilton drop. That was bad. I thought Noah Fant looked good. I thought Courtland Sutton looked amazing. I thought Emmanuel Sanders looked good coming off the injury. I thought Philip Lindsay looked good. Royce Freeman is going to be an interesting part of this offense. I think he's going to be good. But the defense didn't sack Derek Carr once. They had no sacks. The defense with Bradley Chubb and Von Miller and supposed defensive genius Vic Fangio, they couldn't get one sack on the Raiders, on the freaking Raiders. And the Raiders had an 88-yard drive, I want to say, that started on like their own 10-yard line, and they drove all the way down for a touchdown. The defense could not get off the field. It looked bad. They were a bad defense. And that's why they lost the game. I truly believe if the defense would have played better, I think the Broncos would have won this game. All they had to do was keep the Raiders from scoring more than 20 points. And the Raiders put up I already forgot.
I think 24, if I remember right.
And the Raiders put up what? Well, why isn't Monday Night Football showing up here on my ESPN thing? That's a problem. I can't believe how bad the defense was. Like
16.
Like I just I cannot believe how bad the defense was. It was an awful defense, Chris. Like Derek Carr looked great. He looked legitimately great, and this team's best wide receiver is Tyrell freaking Williams. Like maybe Tyrell Williams is better than I expected him to be, but like
what about Josh Jacobs, 2 touchdowns?
Oh, Josh Jacobs looks amazing. He's going to be a fun guy to watch. He's not the best pure running back, but he looks good. And I was amazed how great the credit to the Oakland Raiders offensive line. Pass protected well and got some real holes. And credit to the Oakland Raiders defense as well. They let the Broncos march on them, and then in the red zone, they tightened up and never allowed a touchdown until the very death. So – I don't know. I was shocked at how good the Raiders look. And maybe John Gruden's a good coach. Maybe John Gruden's just a really good coach and this team can be a 7-win team. I might be completely wrong on the Raiders. They look like a decent 7-8-win team.
I agree with you about the Raiders. I mean, not that I watched last night's game, I didn't, but this is what I thought before the season. I thought the Oakland Raiders were a little underrated. I know most had them at 4, maybe 5 wins. Without Antonio Brown, they thought they'd be a little worse. But I thought this was a formidable offense and defense, a formidable team. Could upset a team or two that's maybe not in New England or Kansas City, but they're going to upset somebody somewhere, and it's going to be one of them upsets that a team looks back and is like, yeah, that's why we did not make the playoffs. That's the type of team I think they are at this point. So I think the way you originally reacted after the loss, because I saw Twitter, I think it was a little bit of an overreaction because I feel like you thought the Raiders were just going to be that 4-12 team, that 4-12 everyday team. That's why I would say that that's a little bit of an overreaction. Your general reaction to it was an overreaction.
Maybe so.
What did you think the highlight of the team of the Denver Broncos was?
Courtland Sutton was the best part. I for the hell of me cannot pull up these Broncos. Do you have the stats for that game pulled up out of curiosity?
Yeah.
How can you read me Courtland Sutton's stat line? Because it was pretty good. I think he had like 4 catches for 100 yards or something like that. He looked really good.
Let me pull it. I thought I'd edge it up, but I closed it. But hold on a second. I've got it coming up. 7 catches for 120 yards.
Yeah, he was really good. He was a really good wide receiver. And year one didn't really show it. There were ups and downs year one. But year two, I think he looks like Joe Flacco's favorite target. And Cortland Sutton was the biggest bright spot of a win. I thought he was absolutely amazing. And I think he's going to be good week in and week out. So I'm excited about – I was excited about the Denver Broncos wide receiving core going into the year. I'm more excited about them coming out of this game because I think the wide receiving core has some good pieces in it.
Yeah, and even like the Sean Hamilton, even though he dropped the touchdown, I think he'll rebound and become a better receiver around the league.
The team was still undisciplined, not well coached, too many penalties. That was the other thing. Vic Fangio's big thing throughout camp was discipline, and they were not disciplined. They were sloppy, and it was hard to watch at points. So, yeah, I'm a little bit bummed out by the Broncos in general right now, and I don't think it's going to get any easier. They have a really tough schedule ahead. I think they start the year 0-3. I think they lose the next 2 weeks to the Packers and the Bears. I'm hopefully gonna have Yusei Koshal on at the end of next week's episode as a kind of add-on to talk about Bears Broncos as kind of a preview. But yeah, I think that's a good podcast, Chris. Are you ready to wrap it up?
I agree. That was a very good podcast. I think it turned out well. The new format turned out pretty well.
Yeah, me too. And if we didn't talk about your team, I'm really sorry. We will eventually get to everyone's team, I promise. Chris, I think I'm gonna try to get someone different for Wednesday's show for week two. But I look forward to having you on later in the season. And is your YouTube show starting tonight?
I'm not 100% sure yet. It was going to.
All right. Well, go check out Chris's YouTube show.
I'll just update you guys on Twitter. My Twitter is at ChrisC_01. I doubt there's a show out tonight now, but we'll see. We'll see.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Well, you can follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod, and we will see you guys next time. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.